Hi, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you on the show, Holly. First of all, people need to go to followholly.com just to look at you because you are so beautiful and you're in such good shape, and just seeing you and you have such a glow about you. It's very inspiring. Now, I mentioned in the introduction that you were a full-time working mother and that you were kind of doing the yo-yo dieting and the fad diets and struggling. When did you start to realize that there's a better way, and what were the first changes that you made?
Well, it's funny, and Lisa, thank you for all the glowing things that you had to say.
Oh, sure.
I'm here basking in it. Thank you so much. It was for me when, you know, the old saying about hitting 40. Literally, almost on my 40th birthday, it was like everything started to change for me drastically.
Yes.
I mean, it was overnight.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. It was. It was like, oh, my gosh, because I didn't see it coming because I was keeping up with what I thought was a very healthy lifestyle with these 90-minute-a-day workouts. And I was eating what I thought was very healthfully, lots of fruits and vegetables and bran and yogurt and all of this. Well, after my 40th birthday, it turned out, and that the first thing I noticed was my energy levels were depleting drastically, where every afternoon I was dragging, and then I got to the point where I was begging for a nap. 3 o'clock came around, and I could barely keep my eyes open no matter how much rest I got at night. But that was the other thing, is my rest was being disturbed at night. I wasn't able to sleep as well. And then, which to my horror, as most women, in spite of these workouts and really being careful about the way I was eating, for the first time in my life, my weight was going up every single year, just a couple of pounds. But it seemed like no amount of working out, no amount of dieting and watching what I ate changed this pattern. So, you know, after a few years, here I am up a good 8 or 9 pounds, which doesn't sound like a lot until you realize I'm this teeny little person. I'm 5'2". And I've got bird bones. I can't put it on. I'm a large frame girl. No. I've got bird bones. I'm teeny. Aww. And so for me, 8 or 9 pounds is several clothing sizes.
I see, yes.
Yeah. And that got my attention when literally nothing in my closet was fitting anymore, where, you know, trying to zip up my pants, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
I learned rubber bands do work temporarily. You know, you hook them around where you should be able to snap your pants up. But I just didn't want to buy, I didn't want to continue to buy larger clothes. So I started to really research, and fortunately my background as a medical malpractice attorney lended itself beautifully to this effort because I knew how to research the medical journals and the studies that were being done. And the reason I did that is probably like many people out there, I had already participated in all the fad diets, all the good diets, found benefit from many, but nothing that was completely sustainable for me with my typical Western culture lifestyle with me, my husband, kids, stepkids. I had to find something that worked within this arena, and I was working. So that's when I started really following the diabetic studies, the obesity studies, and perhaps most importantly, the studies being done on the connection between stress and what is happening to our weight along with other health concerns.
I see. So what is the role of stress, and how is that? Because, I've seen those commercials that say, are you carrying fatty tissue in your abdomen? It's because of the hormone cortisol, and take this pill, which, of course, then I change the channel because I don't buy into the whole pills. But it is interesting. It's like, I wonder if what they're saying is true, but yet what they're offering isn't, and obviously there's a much better way if you can talk about that.
Oh, sure. And I know the commercials you're talking about,
yeah.
And I laugh, too, because it's like you are a victim of belly fat, the way they present
yes.
it. And it's some of what they are saying is true. There is a connection between the main hormone they're speaking about is cortisol,
yes.
which we emit, you know, in response. It's a part of our stress response. But like you, Lisa, I don't take pills either because, to me, it's a temporary fix as well as an expensive one. I was looking for a way to subsist in my life without use of a lot of outside tools, and I ended up finding a way to do it through normal, average foods that you find in your grocery stores. So what happens is when you have a stress response, and if you think about it back into our caveman days, you saw the lion or the tiger, you know, brain alerts, you dump a bunch of stress hormones into the body, and that becomes what we call our fight-or-flight response. So blood is shunted out to the limbs, so you can run and get away from that lion or tiger or bear. Well, today, we no longer have to worry about the lions and the tigers and the bears necessarily, but we do receive these stressors in the forms of, well, an email, an unwanted email, or a nasty phone call, or, you know, anything that would come to us that would alert us. And now, with the advent of our cell phones and our internet and our texting and our emails, we really never get away from this input. And the input is a stressor, and it's cumulative. So we also are very sedentary now because we're sitting here using these devices for the most part, using our cars to go to even around the corner to the grocery store. So now the body has no outlet to make good use of those stress hormones. Before, they'd be dissipated when you're running like crazy away from danger. And now you're just sitting there with them and you're overwrought. Well, what happens is within a couple of hours is the brain responds to this by dumping the cortisol, and now you are starting to have a real physiological craving for high fat, high sugar, high sodium foods. And the reason is as you ingest these things, now the brain dumps a corresponding amount of the feel-good hormones, serotonin and the like. So this is the body's natural way of soothing itself. But now the cycle begins again. You eat that stuff. You feel a little bit better. Now you're stressed out because, well, I just ate a bunch of garbage, and I feel terrible about myself. Oh, my God. And I'm still connected up to my computer and my email and my text, and I'm still getting this input. And the cycle repeats and repeats and repeats. And, of course, I realized that's exactly what had happened to me. And I think the reason it lands on us more obviously after age 40 is I do believe the effects of stress are cumulative. I think they build up over the years.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I needed to buy all new pants at like 41. I don't know. I should have had your rope. Seriously. Like I've always been on a thin side, and all of a sudden I'm like, I've got some major junk in the trunk. And it's funny. And it's funny. My daughter always laughs, but I actually like it. Like, I like being more curvy, and I'm 5'10", so I can carry it. Yeah. I mean, I'm an Amazon, let's be honest. So I can handle my curves, but it was still kind of strange. It's like, what is going on? So anyways.
And that was probably it. I'm going to bet that was it, that you went on this whole same type of track. We all do. And this is men and women, not just women. We women are more sensitive about it because men, frankly, if they can't really get that button on their pants, it's not that big of a deal to them.
They put
their attention on something else, and they're good to go. We women, being diffuse awareness, multitasking all the time, no matter what else I'm doing, there's a portion of my brain that is on that belt buckle, tugging at my waist, and it really robs me of the full enjoyment of my life. That may seem shallow to a certain extent, but I bet any woman sitting out there can relate to that.
Oh, completely. I mean, I'm very honest on my show, and I was upset about, you know, I mean, there's certain, it seems like things start to shift in a way that you're not really wanting them to.
Yes.
As well. Yeah, and it bums me out, you know, and I feel like I should be above it all because I'm feminist and women are empowered even if they're this or that. And then I'm like, what is this? What's this new lump over here?
Oh, Lisa, I hear you because, you know, I was born in 61. We were the first generation of women to be instructed by Gloria Steinem and the whole women's movement and the feminist movement. Did I ever feel shallow? I mean, here I was out there doing everything my culture had taught me to do. I came out there, I had my family and my children, but I had my career. I was a lawyer. And so, boy, did I think I should be beyond really caring that much about this. And to be frank, it wasn't a lot of weight, but it was enough that it got my attention. And then I had to be honest with myself, and this was the first time I really stepped outside of the cultural norm and value and say, I'm just going to accept it for what it is. This really bothers me. And I'm going to stop judging that it shouldn't.
Yes,
it does.
That's key. Mm-hmm.
And once I did that, it seemed like that opened my mind to be able to examine different potential solutions that were not out there and available to us in the mainstream. I certainly didn't find them there. Because, you know, when I developed this program, it wasn't that I was developing a program. I was just trying to get by. I really was just trying to solve my own issue, and as I started to solve it, because I did come upon a formula easy, works for everybody, but it was my other, let's just call it what it is, my other perimenopausal girlfriends who are now watching me starting to go the opposite direction. We were all gaining. Now I'm starting to reverse this trend and gain tons of energy. They started to say, you know, what are you doing? And that was how this all began. I started sending them daily emails of, well, here today here's what I ate. And I actually made this recipe, and that's how the recipes came to be. It became a shorthand term, a way to refer to, today I had the Follow Holly cottage cheese sundae. They knew what that meant.
Yes.
But it became cumbersome to send out these lengthy emails every day because we actually practice in both California and Arizona. So being a lawyer in both states, it became extremely cumbersome with everything else we were obligated, you know, with our family obligations and whatnot. So I stopped sending out the daily emails. I would send them more occasionally. And in the meantime, these women were now forwarding them on to other friends of theirs. So I started getting emails back from people I didn't even know saying, where's the emails? Where's the daily emails?
Oh, wow.
And from there, it was like, well, maybe it would be more practical and efficient, because if something isn't practical and efficient, I know I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should just post a website, and then I can update that. So that's how that all came to be. And Follow Holly was the name one of my closest girlfriends gave to this whole
process. Yeah, I love it.
It's funny.
It is fun, Follow Holly. You know, you had mentioned the formula, and I know there's three core components. And if you can just talk a little bit about them, and then we can follow Holly, and I'll look like get in great shape. I mean, your muscles are amazing, I must say.
Oh, well, thank you. And I'll explain to that as we get to that stage how those muscles came to be, because people are stunned when I tell them I don't lift weights. They just presume.
Okay, now I'm going to pass out.
No, I do not lift weights. I used to. I used to in my early days in my 90-minute workouts. But let me go in order, and then you'll see why weights are really not necessary. You can lift weights if you want. I don't think that's really the best choice for women, especially after age 40. I think you get a better result with other things, and I'll explain that. But the way it evolved was this. In my research of the diabetic studies, stress studies, obesity studies, that was all connected, and here's how. The diabetic studies focus on blood sugar levels, correct? So you see how blood sugar can actually have a good effect on your body or even a catastrophic effect, depending on what you're putting into your body. So with that said, I started to question, why am I craving stuff that is clearly raising and lowering my blood sugar too much? Because my symptoms were very similar to an untreated diabetic. That's what I found. Mm-hmm. But I was not diabetic. I had all the tests done. I wasn't even really hypoglycemic. So that surprised me, because I also had my thyroid test. I was sure I had some kind of medical issue creating this result, but it wasn't. I was perfectly fine. So when I saw what was going on with the diabetic studies, and then there was some looking at the stress levels from the diabetic standpoint, because the stress hormones affect your blood sugar levels. So those two things are connected. So at that point, I started to realize, well, why don't I work on getting my stress levels under control first? Because if I can get that under control, perhaps I will stop experiencing these wide swings of blood sugar levels, which do trigger that appetite. There is a lot of science behind that now. There wasn't as much when I started really researching this probably about 6 years ago now. Yeah. There's a lot of science now connecting that up, but even without the science, you'll notice it in yourself if you experiment with, you know, just be observant when you get stressed.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Judith Wortman, PhD? She wrote this great book, The Serotonin Power Diet. And it talks about that. It's wonderful. And it is on itsyourhealthradio.org. And it's really good. But it definitely, she was at MIT and she's a scientist. And she's, everything you're saying, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's really incredible stuff.
I'd like to read her book, because
it's a great book.
It supports it. And what I love about this whole concept, too, Lisa, is that prove it to yourself. You don't have to take my word for it or a respected scientist's word for it. You can actually see this very quickly in one day. Just get your nasty email or whatever, and something that would really alert you, shake you up, and see what you want to eat and how your appetite reacts 3 or 4 hours later. Because, see, I was tracking this not only was I a lawyer, and we lawyers document everything, but I also had a background in journalism. I was a journalism major. I was a writer. Yeah, it just came very naturally to me to track what I was doing, writing this down in detail, and that's how I connected it up for myself. It's like, well, every time I get that disturbed about something, I am fighting an uphill battle because my appetite is spiked. And I am not a person who lacks self-discipline or willpower. I don't have steel discipline or a mountain of willpower, but I have at least an adequate average amount. So if I'm being affected like this, I need to get to the root at what's causing me to be disturbed, because it seems to me if I can mellow my mind, bring equilibrium to my mind, well, then perhaps I'm not going to have this problem with this crazy appetite. So that's what I did. I started a deep study of exploration of stress management tools, but from the standpoint of your average harried wife, mother, career lady. It's like, okay, how do I fit this in? I would like to just close up shop and fly to Fiji for a month. Not possible. I would love to just go to India and sit my butt in an ashram for a month. Not going to happen. So what can I do in between the dog barking and throwing up, my son breaking his tooth on his skateboard, and I have a deadline for a motion that I need to file? Okay, I'm overwrought at this moment. What can I use? What is available to me at this moment that can bring me to at least a point of equilibrium, if not peace? And so that's when I started my study of yoga at age 40. Yoga is awesome for many reasons. You don't really have to practice yoga to get many of its benefits, but what it teaches us is that breath control, focused breathing, is magnificent. I can do my focused breathing while I'm on the phone with you. And I'd like the listeners to hear, the website is Herbert Benson, MD. Some of us older people will remember in 1975, he published a book, bestseller, called The Relaxation Response.
Oh, yes, yes.
A wonderful guy. He's from Harvard. He is a cardiologist at Harvard.
Oh.
And now he's got his own, well, he's had it for many years. It's the Benson Henry Institute, and I believe it's there in Boston, Lisa.
There was somebody I was supposed to interview from there, but something happened. This is great.
You will love these people. It's magnificent. And even their website, and I can't recall the website off the top of my head, but if you Google his name, website will come up, and it's marvelous work, and they've published so much on their website. But if you go to some of the crux of what Dr. Benson was doing, he was researching that focused breathing back then, because there's a huge benefit for cardiology patients. I mean, if you look at cardiology rehab, so to speak, you know, people who've had heart attacks, a big part of the rehabilitation goes to structured breathing. So what I want to convey is you don't have to embrace yoga to get this benefit. You can get it anywhere. But these type of easy techniques that I can work into my day-to-day life, focused breathing, various other things like just having a one-point focus on anything. I can stare at a flower for 5 minutes, and you will notice that where the attention goes, so does the state of being of the mind. So if I am looking at something that is calming, eventually, and actually pretty quickly, and especially if you combine it with some slow breathing, I'm going to find that I'm in a much more peaceful state of mind. Doesn't mean I don't have to deal with the throwing up dog, the broken tooth of my kid, and the motion that's on my computer to file. I still need to deal with that. But I can now bring a state of equilibrium to these things, and trust me, they get resolved much faster. And what I found, the beauty of it was, 3 hours later, I'm not in my pantry digging out the cookies and the chips and anything else that's high fat, high sodium, high sugar foods to soothe myself. So that was my big, let's call it the aha moment. That was it. When I found that, I started to work those stress management techniques like crazy. Now, I took yoga, but I also did practice the focused breathing. I took everything I could find that Dr. Benson offered on his website. I used that. Got very into laughter. There's very little at this stage of my life that I can't laugh at. It would probably be classified as a very sick sense of humor. You've got to have it with all these kids and with the area of law we practice in, but I've got a sick sense of humor. And I just decided I'm just not going to take myself and my life and the things that I see out here so seriously. And my God, I was laughing all the time. Laughter is a stress antidote and a very quick one, and it also does double duty because it causes you to release those same feel-good endorphins that you release when you eat all the garbage foods.
Oh,
so short-circuit
gosh.
It. I have some funny movies on DVD here that I can pop in. My big gun is South Park, the movie. Lowbrow at times, but I call it the big guns because when I just can't get my mind off of something, well, I put in
yes.
something I got, because there's music too. Music is another great stress reducer because
exactly.
it connects with that side of your brain. So once I became adept at working in these types of things into average daily life without running away from my life, I found that my appetite had now changed. Now I'm craving foods that are pretty much healthful, good for me. I could bring in, not that I was eating a lot of garbage before, but I needed to switch up how I was eating. So now that was the stress portion. That's portion number one, stage one of Follow Holly Plan. Stage two is now let's modify the diet because we are physiologically more prepped to do so. So breakfast, I look at people's breakfasts, and that's usually where I can see where the problem is for them, and here's why. After you reach what I call the 40s or anybody when your hormones start to change, and this is true for men or women, you need a little more protein in your diet than perhaps you needed before because the hormones react a little differently. So, for instance, I was always eating my luscious, huge, homemade raisin bran muffin for breakfast every morning.
Mm.
Loved it, had flaxseed, the omegas. It was just filled with wonderful things. But I had that for breakfast. For lunch most days, I had either yogurt and fruit or a baked potato and maybe an apple or something like that. And most of my dinners were veggies, rice, pasta. I had been a vegetarian. I wasn't anymore, but I just have never been a big protein eater, always drawn to these type of carb foods, but high complex carbs, what we would consider healthy carbs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I discovered happened was this, especially at your breakfast, when you take in a lot of carb, even if it's a nice, healthy, complex carb, the blood sugar does react to it in that you get an influx of energy, and then later in the afternoon, I was getting that crash. I was becoming very fatigued from that, and also it was starting to spike my appetite. So I found if I had, instead of only a bran muffin, half the bran muffin and perhaps an egg,
yeah.
or a piece of whole grain toast and a scoop of cottage cheese. I had an entire different result in that I was no longer getting that late afternoon crash. Now, the other thing I want to add to this, and this comes directly from the diabetic studies, if you can sprinkle a little bit of cinnamon somewhere in your breakfast foods, maybe even in your coffee, but you only need a half teaspoon to a teaspoon, cinnamon acts as a marvelous blood sugar regulator.
Yes.
They have pills out now. I've seen them in the store. It's called, I think, Sinsulin is one brand. But this came from the diabetic studies. And it's also, it's a cholesterol reducer. There's a fiber there. So I make sure to get a half teaspoon or so into my breakfast food, whatever it is. And then for lunch, instead of having that full carb, I'll still have the salad, but now I'm going to throw in maybe a cup of, chicken breast meat, or I'm going to have some turkey on an open-faced sandwich. Let's get rid of a little bit of the carbs, so have the sandwich open-faced. I switched out some of my more high-glycemic, high-sugar fruits for the lower-sugar fruits, such as cherries or apples, peaches, plums, or better yet, more vegetables. I brought in more vegetables, the lower-glycemic ones, which are non-starchy. Bell peppers, asparagus, zucchini, onion, broccoli is a superstar because of the fiber and the high protein content, cauliflower, those type of things. Now I no longer have the crash in the late afternoon, so I'm not taking a nap every day. I don't have the appetite, the big appetite late afternoon, and that sets me up to be able to eat a moderate, healthy dinner. And there you have it. That's how I modified my diet.
Oh,
now,
wow.
after that, the workout portion, my third step, third portion, is extremely easy because it actually required me to do less than I was doing. I was able to get rid of my 90-minute-a-day, very intense, harsh workouts, which I had done for decades, literally, and instead go down to no more than an hour a day. And the reason is I think your diet and your stress levels are probably 90%, at least 85 to 90% of the result that you see in your physical being. The working out, you just do whatever you enjoy, but you do need to move every day. The American College of Sports Medicine has now come out and recommended really 45 minutes to 60 minutes a day of exercise to maintain your weight or to at least not gain as we get older. Now, people hear that and they freak out. They say, oh, who can do that? Well, they're not talking about 45 minutes to 60 minutes of harsh, intense weightlifting or hardcore aerobics. They're talking about moderate exercise. So this is a brisk walk, a nice ride on your bike, a light jog. Now, if you want to lose weight, yes, you need to up the intensity some. But just to do this every day, and you don't need to do it all at once. That's the other thing I learned. A new study showing that 3 10-minute sessions of exercise are just as effective, if not more, than one solid 30-minute session, which is counter to what we were taught through the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, so, no, that's good. No, I did one of your 10-minute yoga workouts the other day.
Yes, okay. Because and that for me goes to yoga too. I am a yoga instructor, and I will teach those 90-minute classes, and I personally enjoy them, but they're not for everybody. And I say you don't need them. 10 minutes is really enough, but it's the consistency. And that's what the American College of Sports Medicine is saying. It's the consistency, people. We need to move every day. Now, Lisa, if you step back and look at what we did as kids, because that's the second thing that people will respond with, well, I only want to work out 3 days a week or four days a week. That's because I think their mindset is that they have to do this harsh thing that they don't want to do. If you look at how children are or how we were as kids, we didn't say, look, guys, I'm coming out for tag and dodgeball only Monday through Friday. Saturday and Sunday, I'm sitting at home and I'm not going to move because I already did my time, my exercise time this week. We didn't do that. Not only did we play every day outdoors, but we played multiple times a day. And that's the third part of this that I want to encourage the viewers to the listeners to consider, is that look how children are naturally, look how we were as kids. We didn't just have one set exercise session during the day and then we were sedentary the rest of it. You are getting up and moving multiple times a day. And lo and behold, now we have a study saying that even walking, let's say you exercise in the morning, well, a 10-minute walk after dinner is so beneficial because it helps to metabolize your food. Why? Because there's certain enzymes that are excreted when the muscles contract. So if I bring this repeated activity into my day in a way that works in my lifestyle, now I have a consistency that I will carry out every day, and it's that consistency of effort which brings the result.
So well, all you have to do is follow Holly and see. And I tell you, I think the stress management is so huge. You know, years back, I was actually diagnosed with adrenal fatigue, and so my cortisol was just going nuts. And I think that's part of the reason that I put on weight more easily now. And I think I'm very inspired speaking with you. I definitely need, you know, and I do the deep breathing, but I'm not as good about it as I should be, and so it definitely is going to help me. And you're, like I said, just looking at you, you know, it works. I mean, you're like
ultimately, I mean, that's what I so enjoy about my physique as it is today. Here I am at 49.
That's just insane.
Well, Lisa, think about it. Contrary to conventional wisdom, I should not have the physique I have today because of this. Not only do we gain belly fat from that stress response as we get older, but that's where I naturally stored all my fat anyway. Even when I was younger and I would crash diet myself down to being very thin, I still had what I call the poochy belly syndrome. I couldn't get rid of that poochy belly for anything. And today I do not have it. It's almost like I call it a spiritual surgery. because I have not had liposuction. I get the emails asking, no, I have not had liposuction. I have not had a tummy tuck. I have had no procedures on my abdomen whatsoever, because when people see it, they think I must have. No. What you see, and these are unretouched photos that are on my website, and they will always continue to be, because although I appreciate seeing inspirational photographs of people, I want to show me the raw photo. I really want to see what it looks like, because, come on, we're human. I think you can see some bruises on me in some of my pictures. So don't even airbrush those out. Let's just put it out there. This is what I look like. If you saw me at the beach with my kids, this is what I look like. And it is not from using any kind of supplement or drug or having lipo or a tummy tuck. This is the consistent daily application of the principles I just outlined for you, and it didn't take that long. Now, it's not a quick fix. This is not, you're going to lose 10 pounds in a week or two. I don't think that's healthy personally.
No, I agree.
There's a reality to set point on weight. There is. Mm-hmm. Your body is going to struggle to stay at the weight it has arrived at habitually for the last few months, but you can change that set point. You kind of have to sneak up on it, so to speak. So I was losing about a pound a week. When I hit my magic formula, it was about a pound a week. Really, a pound to 2 pounds a week is all you want to lose. But I lost the weight within a couple of months. What you see on my physique as far as the level of muscle definition and sinew, now that took about a year or even two. That also was giving up the weights. Let me put this as a postscript. I gave up the weights. Very, very occasionally I will use very light hand weights, and I'm talking 3 pounds to 5 pounds max. But for the most part, what you see is the result of yoga and boxing. We're a big believer. I love boxers training. I do the boxers fitness type training or MMA fitness training. We own a gym now. Because of our love of this, we ended up purchasing a franchise, LA Boxing.
That's great.
Yeah, which people are stunned to think, a boxing yogi. Yes. And I think they're the perfect counterpart, and here's why. The yoga brings you the flexibility, the balance, and also it's your moving meditation and brings in all the wonderful breathing and the single focus and all that. And now yoga alone, in my opinion, is not enough. We need that cardio benefit. And, of course, the studies that I think most people are now familiar with show that interval training, raising your heart rate high up and then letting it go back to a moderate level and sustaining it there, then raising it again and going back down. This is the most effective cardio training. By the way, this interval training is what allowed me to cut my workouts from 90 minutes down to 60. I got a better benefit with much less time. But boxing workouts, especially MMA-type fitness training, and more cities have these, but I have some of them on my website, my YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/followholly, I believe is the correct one. Well, there's a boxing workout on there, but if you look at that, I show people how to do this at home. It's easy and very effective, and you're using 1 pound hand weights max, and you get this beautiful effect and, I think, an overall better balance to your physique.
Hold on a second. I'll edit this. I'm sorry, my little girl came.
No, it's okay, honey.
No, it's so amazing. I mean, Holly, honestly, you've got to come back like every couple months and just fill us in on things, because you have so many amazing things to tell us. It's so fantastic.
I love it, and I'm constantly, I'm a test case, so I go out there as the guinea pig and test it, document it. And then I will flat out tell you, really, did this work or not? Because I've had some stupendous failures. You're just hearing about the successes, but I've had just, mind-boggling, jaw-dropping failures as well.
Oh my goodness!
But I've just given you the best of it, so hopefully it shortcuts the circuit for people.
Yeah, no, it's fabulous. Now, so Holly, we know we can go to followholly.com,
yes.
And can you mention the YouTube again?
The YouTube is youtube.com/followholly.
Okay, great. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. And make sure to notice that there's a little link now to my show, It's Your Health TV. There's some great stuff on there. And if you live in the New England area, you're going to be able to watch It's Your Health TV on WZMY-TV, my TV of New England. So I'm very excited about that. And I'm going to have to get out to L.A. and get Holly on the show because I know that we would have a great time. Well, I hope everyone checks out followholly.com. Have a great week. Keep being healthy. Bye-bye.